Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week, we are presenting The Golden Touch of King Midas, adapted from the Nathaniel Hawthorne version by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Olive and Etta, Philip and Emmy, Lana Weiss, Kyle from Austin, Texas, and their families. Thank you for helping to support our show, Olive, Etta, Philip, Emmy, Lana, and Kyle. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would also like to support the show and receive a thank you in a future episode, head to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then email Amanda at storiespodcast.com and tell us who to thank. Enjoy the episode. The Golden Touch of King Midas. Once upon a time, there was a very rich king whose name was Midas. He was a powerful man, and he had but two loves in the world. The first was gold. The second was his daughter, who he named Marigold after his favorite saying.
I love gold so much, I would marry gold if I could.
Marigold was a sweet girl, and King Midas loved her dearly. But despite all her best efforts, she always came second to gold. She would come running to her father, telling him of a beautiful sunset she wanted to share with him. But when he came and saw the golden clouds, all he said was,
"Too bad they aren't real gold. We could scoop them into my treasure vaults."
When she came to him with her harp and played him a song of breathtaking beauty that she had written just for him, all he said was,
"A decent song, I suppose, but the only music for me is this."
And he would clink two golden coins together and laugh happily. And when she came to him with three sweet yellow buttercups, fragrant and beautiful as you could want, all he said was,
"You're wasting your time. If only these were truly gold, then they would be worth the picking."
When King Midas wasn't upsetting his daughter, he spent all of his time trying to acquire more gold, even though he already had more than any man alive. His soldiers had standing orders to conquer any city they could find and bring back all of the gold to Midas's treasure vaults. Foreign diplomats had standing orders to not dare approach the royal king without a golden gift to give him. And Midas's priests had standing orders to pass any of the gold donated to the churches directly to the king. One day, Midas was in his treasure vaults, indulging in his all-time favorite activity, playing with his gold. He would count his golden coins, placing them one by one in tall, shining towers. He would pour great heaps of golden trinkets onto the ground and then lay down and make gold angels, just like normal people would with snow. He would even polish great golden sheets until he could see his own reflection smiling gold-tinted back at him, and he would stare for hours. Midas was in the middle of one such staring session when, quite suddenly, he saw a second reflection in the golden sheet. He screamed and whirled, but the stranger only stood there, still as a painting, smiling a mysterious little smile. Something about the smile calmed King Midas, and he knew that the stranger meant him no harm.
"You are a very rich man, Midas," said the stranger. "Did you know that in all the world no one has as much gold in one room as you do?"
Midas smiled at that and turned back to his golden mirror.
"I suppose I've managed to pick up a trinket here and there,"
Midas said.
"But truly, there is so much gold in the world I still don't own. Entire chambers in my treasure vaults I've yet to fill, and so I cannot rest."
The stranger laughed at that for a good long while.
"And what would be enough? Honestly, I'm curious. How much gold would be enough for King Midas if he had a wish to grant it?"
Midas laughed back.
"I think I grow weary of hunting for gold, even if other men do my hunting for me. To speed up my collection, I think, if I had a wish... "If I only had one wish to be granted, I'd wish for a golden touch enchanted, a rich crop by my own magic planted. Oh, what a fine thing that would be. The crisp autumn leaves would be gold at my hand. My knives and my forks would be gilded and grand. The wealthiest king in the wealthiest land. Oh, what a fine thing that would be. My robes would be golden instead of poor silk. My combs and my razors would be of their ilk. Yes, a golden touch sweeter than mother's milk. Oh, what a fine thing that would be. Oh, what a sweet wish that would be to me.
The stranger listened to the song with a smirk on his face. At this point, you may be wondering who the stranger was and why Midas didn't seem all that alarmed to see him. Well, the truth is that the stranger was none other than the Greek god Dionysus, who had come to Midas as a reward. Not to backtrack too far, but a few months before this meeting, Midas had found and fed a teacher of Dionysus's, and now the god had come to reward the gold-loving king. His godly presence is what kept Midas calm, even though Midas didn't realize it.
"So, the golden touch, is that your wish?" asked Dionysus.
"My one wish, my true wish, my golden wish," said Midas. "But what does it matter? Who are you to be offering such magic?"
The stranger laughed and allowed Midas a second's glimpse at his true godly form, one that shone so bright that even the gold seemed lackluster.
"I am Dionysus, and consider your wish granted. At first light tomorrow, the golden touch will be yours, gentle king."
He continued to grow brighter and brighter until Midas was forced to shut his eyes or be blinded. A few moments later, he peeked out and he was once again alone in the treasure vault.
"Was that real or a dream or a vision? Or am I going mad?"
Midas mumbled to himself.
"Well, I suppose I'll find out in the morning."
Midas could barely sleep that night for the excitement. Truthfully, he thought the encounter was likely just a dream, but still, the golden touch. What a fine thing that would be. The sun brightened the horizon, and Midas leapt from his bed. He ran his hairy hands over the nearest thing he could find, a set of ivory chess pieces. But they didn't turn to gold. They just sat there in his palm, making him feel like a fool. He went back to bed and threw the covers over his head.
"I should have known better,"
he grumbled.
"The golden touch.
As he lay sulking, the sun continued to rise, and a bright ray slipped through his window and fell upon him as he lay in bed. Quite suddenly, he felt his sheets become heavier, stiffer, and when he threw them off and rolled out of his bed, he saw that they had turned to cloth of gold. With a trembling hand, he reached out and grasped the ornately carved wood of his bedpost. That, too, turned instantly and completely to gold. Midas danced about his room, touching this and that and laughing with delight as his possessions turned to gold. He scooped up the chess pieces and turned them to gold, the white and black pieces alike. He even grabbed the three sweet yellow buttercups his daughter had given him and turned those to gold, though they kept their delicate shape. Looking at the fine golden flowers, Midas couldn't wait to show his daughter Marigold. He sat at the royal dining table, careful to touch nothing. When Marigold sat down next to him, he presented her with the three solid gold buttercups.
"Father," she said, "these are wonderful, but how did you do this?"
King Midas winked at her.
"A gift from the gods, my sweet."
With that, he touched her plate and fork and laughed at the amazement in her eyes as they turned to gold as well.
"Father, you have the golden touch."
Marigold was happy to see her father happy, but sad as well. She realized that with this new power, her father's love for gold would only grow. And where would that leave her and her simple gifts?
"A toast!"
cried Midas, calling for all the servants to join in and raise glasses.
"To the golden touch!"
Everyone drank down their sweet morning juice, but Midas coughed and hacked and spit it onto the table. It had gone into his mouth the deep red of sweet berries, but it came out as liquid gold. Everyone looked on concerned. Marigold, most of all, but Midas simply laughed.
"I must have touched the juice in my glass. A silly mistake."
But when he took his golden fork, speared a lamb sausage, and popped it into his mouth, that too was spit out as a lump of brightly shining gold.
"Father," said Marigold, "it appears it's not just your hands that have the touch. How will you eat? How will you drink? This is no gift, but a curse."
"A curse? The golden touch a curse?"
roared Midas.
What man needs juice and lamb sausage when he has a golden throne in a golden palace, a golden kingdom ruled by a golden king? You say curse? Take yourself from my sight and be glad you're my daughter, or you'd be punished worse.
He turned and glared at the servants in the room.
If any of you should speak against my golden gift, you'll be turned onto the street to live as beggars. Now what say you?
The servants all praised their king, and when he took his throne for the day, made all of gold, of course, they ran to and fro, fetching him this and that. First he had them bring all of the swords and armor in the castle barracks, and he turned those to gold, talking of how his army would be the richest in the land. Next he called for all the jewelry in the realm, all the silver and copper and bronze, and he turned those to gold as well, declaring that no lesser metal shall be worn in his presence. He even called for his tailors and touched all of their materials so he should never again have to wear something not made completely of gold. And on it went, day after day, for a week. King Midas would laugh and boast and turn things to gold, but in private he grew very hungry and very, very thirsty. He tried pouring a glass of hippocras directly down his throat, but it turned to gold in his stomach and he had to sick it back up. Unable to eat, unable to drink, he grew weaker and weaker, sicker and sicker. But still he had the golden touch, and that was worth more to him than his health. But luckily for him, his daughter felt differently. She came to him one night when he had gone to bed early, too weak from thirst to work more than a few hours.
"Father," she said, tears rolling down her cheeks.
For all his faults, she still loved him, and in his own way he loved her, though he was quite bad at showing it.
"Father, you must plead with the gods to undo this golden touch. I love you, and you're wasting away. Is having a kingdom of gold worth your life?"
"Maybe it is,"
Midas yelled at his daughter from his bed of gold.
"Well, it's not to me," she yelled back, leaning over her father's bed. "I'd rather be poor and have a father than be rich and lose you. I love you, and I can't stand another day living with you in this curse."
"It is not a curse,"
King Midas cried and pushed his daughter angrily away from him. She turned completely to gold in an instant and fell to the ground with a thunk, still and lifeless as a golden statue.
"Marigold?"
said Midas.
"Marigold! Marigold!"
King Midas wept bitter tears that turned to gold on his cheek.
"What have I done? Oh, gods, what have I done?"
he cried, pulling his daughter's golden form into his lap and cradling her tight.
"I was mad for gold, completely mad, but now I see. Gold has held my heart for so long, I forgot what true love was, and here true love sits, frozen in my arms. Please, gods, remove this golden touch. Marigold spoke true, it is a curse, and I am a failed father and a failed man. Gladly will I trade all of the gold in these vaults for 3 soft, fragrant buttercups in my daughter's living hands."
He felt a hand on his shoulder, and there was Dionysus, standing behind him, a tear in his eye.
"Midas, this gift was ill wished for by you and ill granted by me. I meant a wish, not a curse, but I underestimated your lust for gold. If I restore your daughter to you, do you swear to put your gold aside? Consider carefully, for 1 more wish is all you shall have."
Midas gently stroked his daughter's golden face.
"If I only had 1 wish to be granted, I'd wish for a daughter's touch enchanted, to hear her laugh and the prayer she chanted. Oh, what a fine thing that would be. Clouds lit by sunset that pass over the lands, a song sweetly played on a harp's wire strands, 3 buttercups sweet in pink little hands. Oh, what a fine thing that would be. My love would be hers, and hers would be mine. My greatest treasure'd be her smile shine.
Yes, remove this curse with your powers divine. Oh, what a fine thing. Oh, what a sweet wish that would be to me.
Dionysus smiled at the king, confident that he'd learned his lesson.
Consider your wish granted. At first light tomorrow, bathe in the waters of the river Pactolus that runs alongside your castle. Then take the water and wash anything changed by your golden touch.
And then he was gone. King Midas didn't wait for sunrise. He didn't even wait for sunset. He went immediately to the river and swam in its waters. He swam all night under the stars and vowed that if it worked, he would put aside his gold and concentrate on what truly mattered. The first rays of the sun found Midas sleeping on the riverbank. He woke and reached out instantly for a nearby rock. When he picked it up, it remained a simple rock. King Midas had never seen anything so beautiful. He brought a bucket of the river's water to his room and gently washed his daughter with it. As soon as the liquid touched her brow, the gold vanished from her body and she was restored. She told her father that, while she couldn't move, she could hear everything he said. She had heard his song, and they hugged for a very long time. After that, Midas ordered everything in the castle scrubbed clean of gold. He emptied his vaults and donated all of the treasure there to the hungry and poor in his kingdom. And from that day forward, he was as kind and as generous a king and father as anyone could ask for. Still, sometimes, late at night, he would creep down to the treasure vaults. They were empty now, except for a single simple cushion that rested on a simple wooden table. On the cushion? Nothing but a simple rock and three sweet yellow buttercups. The end. Today's story, The Golden Touch of King Midas, was adapted from the Nathaniel Hawthorne version by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge. Then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.